The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
A mindset for wealth creation. And we define a mindset as an established pattern of attitudes that somebody holds and which is a product of their thoughts. We also said that a mindset is how you respond or interpret events and situations based on your mental attitude or your thought pattern. This week, we are moving to another topic, and we are treating the subject of winning by the right attitude. Winning by the right attitude. This presupposes we can lose in life if we adopt the wrong attitudes. But God has ordained us and given us a seed of greatness and giving us a seed of victory through Jesus' death, that by application of the word of God in wisdom, we will be winning continually. If you believe you are destined to win, shout amen and put your hands together. You are destined to be great. This year, the greatness of some people shall appear. And it shall not go away. The greatness shall be watered and the greatness shall grow. So can you turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 4? We read verses 1 to 12. Genesis chapter 4. And we read verses 1 to 12. Amen. And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bore his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Verse 5. But unto Cain and his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, or he was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth or angry? And why is thy countenance falling? Verse 7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Verse 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which has opened thy mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which has opened the mouth to receive the blood from thy hand. And when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee his strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Amen. Before I handle the text, I want to define what an attitude means. Number one, an attitude is a settled way of thinking. There are things that we think about over and over again. And at the end, we settle for something that we believe in. What you settle for becomes part of you, and it's called an attitude. Number two, an attitude is made up of your thoughts, your opinions, your viewpoints, your belief, your perspective, your inclination. So there are some constituent parts of attitude, and we are listing them as follows. Number one has to do with your thoughts. Number two has to do with your opinions. Number three, with your viewpoint, how you see things in life. Number four, with what you believe. Number five, with your perspective, the angle at which you look at things. And number six, your inclination, is talking about the area toward which you lean, whether you will lean towards the truth or lean towards lies. It's a reflection of your attitude. Number three, attitude is the way you think or feel about something. The way you think or the way you feel strongly about something, it shows forth in your attitude. And number four, attitude is the way you look at life. The way you look at life in general will constitute your attitude. So I go over the 4 points quickly. Number one, attitude means a settled way of thinking. Number two, attitudes are made up of your thoughts, your opinions, your viewpoint, your belief, your perspective, and your inclination. Number three, attitude is the way you think or feel about something. Sometimes you think you will not prosper and you feel things are working against you. It will reflect in how you act it out. Number four, attitude is the way you look at life. And we are talking about life in general. There are three components of attitude. There are three main components of attitude. The first one is called affective. Affective. Now, by affective, we are talking about your feelings, your emotions. You remember this story in the Bible about a young man called Amnon. He was one of David's sons. And he had a stepsister called Tamar. And this man began to develop feelings for his stepsister. According to the Bible, it was a sin of incest to get into sexual relationship with anybody who is a member of your family. But Amnon overlooked what the law said, and Amnon allowed himself to be guided by these negative feelings. In the end, Amnon pretended he was sick and got someone to call his stepsister Tamar to come and attend to him and to prepare a meal for him. In the course of the interaction, Amnon will lock the door and Amnon will force his own sister into bed. So number one, Amnon committed incest, and number two, Amnon committed rape, because the sister didn't agree to that and he forced her into bed. So there are feelings in our body. The feelings may be good or the feelings may be bad. The example that I'm giving regarding the affective right now has to do with somebody who couldn't control himself. Similarly, somebody may be told that I saw your whatever flirting somewhere, and out of anger, you let the feelings drive you and you arm yourself with a dagger and go and look for the person, there is an affective component of your attitude, and this step you're taking is a completely negative one. Number two, the second component of attitude is called the behavioral. Your behavior is the way you act. Somebody may be having in his mind an attitude of impatience, but it is when you act it out that we see that this is your behavior. Paul taught that the new religion, that was Christianity, if I may describe it as such, was opposed to Judaism. And he felt that anybody that went to practice Christianity was totally opposed to God. So with this feeling, it affected the behavior of Saul, and he started persecuting Christians. He would have them arrested, beating up, and he will have some of them killed. So you will realize that this behavior of, then Saul was not consistent with the word of God. The third aspect of your attitude is what we call the cognitive. When we talk about the cognitive, we're talking about the mental. We're talking about information. We're talking about knowledge that comes to you. And such a knowledge affects what you believe. You and I are in church today because somebody preached to us and told us that Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, and God sent a remarkable prophecy that Jesus will come and he will destroy the devil, and at the end of the day he will give salvation to humanity. And Jesus indeed came, he died, he was buried, and he rose up from the grave, and today he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's seated there making intercession for us. And through his death we have redemption. We are bought back at the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. So because we heard this message, we were able to form our opinion that salvation is only cometh from Christ, and salvation is good enough. Can you clap for the salvation that you and I are enjoying free of charge? So the information that we had, the knowledge that we had, we processed it in our mental part, which is the cognitive. And after the processing, we settle at a decision. If the knowledge you have is true, you will have a good decision. If the knowledge you have is false, it will lead to disastrous consequences. So, in a nutshell, we are saying that the three components of attitude are, number one, the affective, your feelings; number two, behavioral, the way that you act; number three, the cognitive, which is the mental, and which affects the what you believe. Now, there are good attitudes as well as bad attitudes. What are some of the good attitudes? Good attitudes are when somebody is patient, the person is humble, understanding, caring, the person is confident, courageous, diligent, optimistic, friendly, and on and on. So I'm talking about being patient, humble, understanding, caring, confident, diligent, optimistic, friendly, etc. Then bad attitude you may have, somebody who is unnecessarily argumentative. The person will argue about anything even though there's no need to argue about. And when you have a child that is doing that, then you know the child is growing into stubbornness. Are you getting me? When you have a young one that lives with you and challenges everything you do, then you know there is a problem, because it may be that arrogance is setting in. There is a way to handle older people. There is a way to manage people who are your superiors. And there is wisdom that is not everything that you talk back at. Now, so let me give you the other bad attitudes. Somebody is quarrelsome, quarrels a lot. Arrogant, lazy, pessimistic, unfriendly, impatient, fearful. And you can continue the list yourself. Our attitude is normally expressed in three areas. Number one, as children of God, we express an attitude toward God. Number two, we express attitudes toward others. And number three, we express attitudes towards ourselves. So what are the attitudes which are godly if you are to relate to God? Can I hear an amen? The Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says, for without faith it is impossible to please God. So the first attitude with which you approach God is the attitude of faith. Say amen to that. Number two, the attitude we approach God with must be an attitude of love. The Bible says, faith worketh by love, for God is love. And the Bible says, anybody that walks outside the context of love is walking in darkness. So we must walk in love. Number three, we must come before God in humility, whether it's in prayer of intercession or prayer of supplication or in worship, we must approach God in humility. Can I hear an amen? Oh, can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? So there are biblical attitudes that have been mentioned by which we must approach God. And if we fall short of that, we may do a lot of prayer, but we may not get the requisite answers. May your prayers be answered as you adopt the right thing. Amen. The second group of persons or areas to which we relate is others. Others are very important. Many times people say things that are not scripture. Oh, as for me, the only person I obey is God. But Bible says, obey your parents. The wives are supposed to submit themselves to their husbands, as the husbands also submit themselves to Christ. So we are supposed to please God. And there are scriptures that talk about pleasing one another. Because if you cannot please your wife, the relationship will not be. If you cannot please your children, they will not be happy in the house. One day they may leave the house and never come back, because they live with daddy, and if daddy was pleasing God, God will give him wisdom to know how to please the children as well. Can I hear an amen from somebody? Now, when we fail to please one another, sometimes it can undermine our blessings, because the Bible says, give and it shall be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to your bosom. There is a certain part of your prosperity that men are the actors. And if in your relationship you are quarreling with everybody and you are not getting things right with everybody, in the long run it will affect you, because Other human persons are social capital. We have monetary or financial capital, and a good relationship is more valuable than money, because a piece of advice from that person can give you victory in a given situation. Can I hear an amen? The leadership of that person ahead of you to an office can open a door for you. The person can put in a word for you, and the person may even have the resources and say that I wish to support you with this so you can have it for free, when otherwise you would have had to pay for it dearly. So we cannot destroy our relationships with one another. Can I hear an amen? If you don't relate well in one area and you leave, the negative things follow you. Because you are supposed to leave with blessings, unless the person is terribly unreasonable. So the negative things can follow you through life. You live with three persons, and anytime you leave, there's confusion, there's quarreling, that you insult, and you know, you want to live in the house of the person, and the person gave you roof and a bed and food and clothes on your back, and when you're leaving, you show a bad attitude, it follows you. How do I know? The Bible says, he that repays evil with good, evil shall never depart from his house. Some of you make us pray for nothing, where the solution is just to show good character, show good behavior. Let me hear an amen. Or let me hear an amen. There are some elderly folks who have grown up with not too good attitudes, and therefore nobody can live with them, and they cannot live with another person. I was reading the other day about a 92-year-old man who was entering into his fifth marriage. I said, if you've had four, at least relax. Call it quits. And live alone and hire people by the day and night to cater for you. But he realizes that wives are good. And yet he has lived with four already. And he's now dating a fifth one at age 92. I didn't hear an amen. If you don't do things properly, as you grow older, people are going to scatter from you. People are going to move away from you. I remember an elderly woman that we were supporting, and she had gone to live with one of her sisters. She quarreled and started cursing. She had a problem of cursing. She can't control her lips. If you offend her, she will curse you. She doesn't mind whom you are. Then she went to live with another sister, and then there were misunderstandings, and then she started releasing the curses. So it wasn't for one day. It was for about 10 years. And the sister said, the curses are enough. Then we went in to assist her and to find accommodation for her. So we found her a house help. She quarreled with the house help, and the house help left. Then we found another person for her, and the same cycle was repeated. So now we were also tired of bringing in people who will come and face the wrath of this old lady. And so we left her alone. And after 6 months, she started suffering loneliness. And she would call weeping and say, why have you taken me into this? You see, if you do that and quarrel with everybody around you, it will get to a place, if you don't take care, you might be lonely in life. May God help us all. Can I hear an amen? Then I know another lady. It's not the ladies alone who are guilty. The men also are. I know another lady. She has about 5 children. When they were living with her, it was a lot of misunderstanding. They left, and now she's living alone. So one person tries to come and live for a month with her. It doesn't work. Now all the 5 children are gone. Then a house help was, obtained for her. She quarreled with the house help. Second house help, she quarreled. Third house help, she quarreled with the house help. Now she's living alone. And she goes around fetching people's children to send them. If you really know you need somebody, why don't you conduct yourself properly? Because there are certain people, when they, for instance, get married, they never change their thoughts to living in a union. They have the mind of an individual. And they try to live in a matrimony to satisfy the union. You can't have the mentality of an individual and have a successful union. This is where we call upon you to adjust. You must learn to adjust and live with somebody, because it is somebody that will handle you. I think you should be clapping. It's somebody that should handle you. It is expected that men who are married will prosper and take care of their families. But sometimes God blesses our wives and they take the step ahead and they prosper, so they must take care of their family. I've known men who will quarrel with the woman over everything. They will quarrel with the woman over her salary. If she gets an increment, they will quarrel and frown. So the wife now cannot disclose anything to them. Because as soon as they see that something good has happened to the woman, they will frown and pick up a quarrel. The lady does not... somebody is smiling. The way the person is smiling, I'm closing my eyes. It's telling me that, like, I'm playing the gramophone record. There are some people, as soon as the wife buys a car, there will be a quarrel. The man will pick the car, drive it around, spend all the fuel, and come and put an empty car back there. And the wife dare not speak. Because if she speaks, you are not supportive enough. Every time there's a quarrel. Brother, change your ways. Oh, if I'm preaching the truth, can you clap for the Lord? Change your ways. The blessings will always come through somebody into the house. So whether it comes through the man or the woman, we have to learn how to submit ourselves one to the other and make this blessing work. If you commit yourself to make this blessing work, can you put your hands together? Oh, I've heard about strange cases where a woman we were worshiping with one time was very prosperous, and anytime she packaged her tithe was very solid. To take to the church, the man said, "Is she taking all to church? Why does she not take care of him first?" Are you competing with God that they must take care of you first before they bring God's offering? God's is only 10%. The rest of the 90%, if you're a good negotiator, you can plug into it small. But don't use Takashi, Patapa, JJT, Itron, and by force. There are some women who do the same. As soon as the man gets money, they change attitude. Miranda, yes. Miranda, yes. Miranda, what is happening? Nothing. I know you are not called Miranda. Otherwise, I'll change it to Fanta. Say amen to the word of God. Oh, come on, say amen to the word of God. Relating to others brings us to customer relations. See, if you are employed to work for a company, learn how to relate well to the clients. Because it's when the clients come in and buy the products or receive services from the institution and they pay for the service, that is when you are also paid by that income. So if you sit at the desk in the front office and frown and quarrel with everybody else, you are not serving the interests of the company that employed you. And let me slot in this as well. You see, when somebody employs you, or you go to live with somebody else in his home, the onus is on you, number one, to serve the company, and number two, to relate well. If you have an unreasonable boss, like David had of Saul, you should learn how to behave yourself so that you don't violate the word of God. So the person doesn't pronounce a curse upon your life. As long as you are there, drop that attitude of, as for me, I don't care. And as for me, I don't mind. Listen to me. There are some people who do that. And when action is taken against them, it doesn't only affect them, it affects the rest of their family. So it's important to learn how to relate with humility. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? Some people take jobs and they position themselves to fight their next in command. They fight. Everything is a fight. I met a group of students and they had positioned themselves to fight the authority. I say, brother, you went to study. Unless they are doing anything that is constitutionally wrong, which you can take them to court for, go and study quietly. Get your degree and leave the institution. Can I hear an amen? Oh, can I hear an amen? And sometimes people leave the organization with a bad attitude. I'll leave so they see whether the organization. No, some of the organization are still there. So if you are leaving, you are leaving with humility. God, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know yet. I need you to lead me and show me the way so that it will be a blessing to me. But not that I will leave so they see. Machina mena, you don't know tomorrow. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, because you don't know the winds of adversity which will blow, for which you will need to come back to the same place. So you didn't go to take an employment to fight the leader. Drop that idea. And you didn't enroll into an educational institution to fight the authorities. And you're in the lecture room and you're challenging everybody else. I didn't hear an amen. It is so painful to sponsor somebody to the university. And when the person comes out, he comes to use the things he has learned about Aristotle and St. Augustine's and Wittgenstein's and Pythagoras and all the other, and to fight you because he has learned something small. Your parents took you to school. Now you have come out. You are making them feel that they are illiterate. May the Lord help you and I. Can I hear an amen? Oh, shout a better amen. You live in homes and you know the person is in the bedroom, and you are calling and calling, and can I use the name Kwame or Ajua? Kwame, no response, but Kwame may have heard it. I know there are times you didn't hear it, but this particular one you have heard it. Kwame. Kwame is inside the room. Kwame. Kwame will respond, yes. And Kwame will not get up immediately. Kwame will take his time and walk out. And when he comes, there's a bad frown on his face, as if to say, why are you worrying me like this? I'm not ready for you to give me any assignment. And when you look at the face of the person, you don't feel like giving an assignment. When Cain killed his brother Abel and God came to the scene, the first question that he asked was about the countenance of Cain. Why do you look so angry on your face? I didn't hear an amen. Amen. Oh, let me hear a better amen. Amen. The Bible says if you are serving somebody, serve the person with single-heartedness. Don't be divided by pride and arrogance and self-conceit. Get up and hurry to the person and respond, even if it's unreasonable. A person arrives from town, blows the horn. Sometimes you didn't hear, but this one I'm talking about, you heard the horn. You are still doing what you are doing. Pa, 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 pa. And then you walk lazily to the gate and open the gate, and you look at it and you frowned. Listen to me. If you are sleeping under somebody's roof, the person is putting food on the table and putting clothes on your back and giving some pocket money to you, it is your responsibility to serve with gladness. The service God blesses is the one with gladness. You have to learn how to take initiative. You have to learn how to do things without being told. You wake up early. You time yourself. If waking up at 6 o'clock doesn't help you fulfill your household chores, wake up at 5. Do the things before you leave home. If there's anything left, return early and come and complete it. And live peaceably. The Bible says, if it be possible, live peaceably with all men. God does not expect us to grow arrogant people in our homes. Ah, amen and amen. Oh, it's getting quieter and quieter. Do you know that Queen Vashti didn't insult King Ahasuerus? No. We didn't even hear what she said. But she was invited to appear in the presence of the guest of the king. And the king wanted to show off small. And she says she won't come. The king must have sent again to fetch the queen. She says she won't come. Then the king said, remove her from the office. If you continue doing that, one day you'll be removed from where you are. There are two types of removal. One is physical. The other is spiritual. God forbid for you. Oh, let me hear an amen. Let me hear an amen. Absalom and Ahithophel conspired with a wrong mindset, with wrong attitude, with wrong behavior to overthrow their father David. Ahithophel was the greatest counselor in that domain. But David did not pray for their death. Do you realize so? He didn't say, God, kill them. But he prayed a certain prayer that will kill them. It was an unintended consequence. And he said, Lord, turn the counsel. That Ahithophel who counsels, and the Bible says his words are like an oracle of God. As when Ahithophel speaks, it's as if God is speaking. Because the guy was blessed with wisdom, and a greater part of the success in David's kingdom can be ascribed to Ahithophel. I don't know what the man was looking for, because he was more powerful than a vice president. Then Ahithophel went to team himself up with the wrong person. And David said, Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Absalom's name was not even mentioned. But Absalom died and Ahithophel died. There are some people, they pray silent prayers. Oh, you oppose them publicly, but they pray silent prayers. They may not even ask for death, but the thing may affect you. Today, I want you to be delivered from that thing. Yeah. David did not ask for their death. No. But they died. Because God does not approve of rebellion at all. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So if somebody is living with you and is showing such attitude, the tendency is that your children will grow to copy. So the proper thing, you fire the person. But God will give you grace to change. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. God will give you grace to change. God will give you grace to change so that the relationship will be repaired. So when it comes for you to move on, they will honor you. Your leaving the house will be celebrated, and you will always be welcome back. Even when you are in need, you can come back. Oh, come on. And they will fix you. They will sort you out. Some people think, well, once I get my job and I'm getting my income, I'm okay. Have you paid school fees for GSS and senior high school before? Have you bought things in the prospectus? And do you know how much will be left in your hands after paying your rent and utility? Do you know how much will be left? Sometimes you will need the kindness of another person to enable you to go through a certain phase of your life before you can stand on your own. Oh, come on, let's clap. Let's give glory to God. I say, if you are being catered for and you are getting arrogant, you may be fired. And if you are fired, you didn't leave with that blessing. So it will follow you. I've seen some people, when they were leaving ministry, they went to the pastor, can you bless me? No, it's not from his heart. Look, he himself will call you. And he himself will bless you. And he will bless you from his heart. So you do better than him. That is real blessing. It's not that by force blessing. No. Church, when David was dancing at the return of the Ark of Covenant to Jerusalem, and he was dancing as if he was not the king, as if he was an ordinary small boy, and his garments were lifting up, and the wife stood in the distance and said, why does the king behave this way with such indignity? Look at the way he's dancing. Look at the way his thighs are showing. David did not hear it. I don't know how many people heard it, but God heard it. God will hear it, and God brought judgment against the wife, and she became barren for the rest of her life. May God deliver us. Oh, come on, can I hear an amen? May God deliver us. Something happened to a servant of God in this country, because the servant of God went to provoke another senior servant of God. And for 3 years, I would have other senior servants of God calling me day, night, midnight, and telling me to caution the other person, because they realized that I had an open opportunity of communication with the person. I don't know why they will call me. They said, warn him. Then I began to hear some of the secret prayers that senior minister who was hurt was praying. And one of his prayers was that, Father, if this guy is despising me and reproachfully rejoicing in my pain, then give him a pain that will be seen around the world. Oh yeah. And let this pain remain with him, that he will know that he has brought hate to the servant of God. I heard this, it was not quite a year, and there was such disaster that almost all the world heard it. You don't know the secret prayers that a person is praying. May the Lord protect you. May the Lord protect me. But stop showing attitudes as if you don't respect anybody. As for you, when you say it, sometimes it will not affect you now, but it will affect you in your old age. And alas, it will be too late. Your attitude toward time is very significant. Very, very significant. You know, we were not raised by our father, but we had to live with others. So I had to pick some good things from these people. Some of them worked hard. Some of them woke up in the night to study. And some of them dressed very well. And I said, God, when you bless me, I will ever look sharp for you. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. So why serve God as if somebody is forcing you? Why attend a church service as if somebody is pushing you? Why attend a prayer meeting or decide not to, as if you have competition with someone? No. Oh, let me say this too. You see, when I used to work in the university, it was quite a distance from where we lived. Whatever income you were given, that's what you worked with. If you didn't like the income, resign and leave. But you had no opportunity to appear before anybody and tell them, oh, shikashe. What it made us do was to seek God's face, to open other avenues and channels of blessings for us. That's what we asked God for. And it wasn't long when increment will come. But a bulk of it was God used others outside the institution to be a blessing to us. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. There was a time that I could travel abroad more than the head of that institution, because God financed it. So if your whole attitude is that, oh, Scanner, yeah, I'm a mammy and nurse. Timetine, if you'll be framing up, be Samia. No. You take a step of faith and ask God to make provision for you. Oh, God is a faithful God. He will reward your faithfulness. So may God look upon your service, and where you need a car, may He provide it. Where you need fuel, may He provide it. And beyond the fuel, may He provide you with wealth and substance. Can I hear a solid amen? If you have to wake up early and walk half the journey, wake up and walk. You remember the story I told you about that young man in the U.S. who got a new job? He had been looking for a job for some time, and there was nothing at home. And the job he got was about 10 miles away from his house. And he knew that he had to walk. I'm sure it was longer than that. So what did he do? He got up early in the morning, around 2 a.m., and started walking. There are some places in the West that they don't expect you to be on your feet at that time. Even daytime, you're not supposed to walk there. You're supposed to be in a vehicle. But this guy was walking through that at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., and the police stopped because he was black. And they asked him, what is the matter? He said, he secured a job down there, and he hasn't got money for transportation. So he left early so he could make it the first day. The police, you know, picked him up because they didn't want anything to hurt him. So for his own safety, they picked him up. They drove him right to the place. They drove him, I don't know where they drove him immediately, but in the morning they presented him to the workplace. And he said, this is the place. They confirmed that he was the one they were waiting for. Then the police narrated the story that we met this guy and he was walking and came to this place. The owner of the business was so pleased that they put something on the social media for people to contribute to his car. The guy got a car, a brand new car, on the first day of his appointment because he had the right attitude. Can you imagine me saying that my house is far from here and therefore I want God to bless me before I step out? God, if you don't bless me, I won't go to church. Would I ever be blessed? Because God is looking at my sacrifice. He's looking at how I'll go about it joyfully, although it's not a joyful thing. He's looking at how early I'll come and not come late and walk lackadaisically, drag my feet so that I draw unnecessary attention and annoy somebody. Hey, if you are doing that to annoy somebody, God will make things multiply and annoy you. Your joy may even be taken away. Say amen. Amen. Oh, can I hear an amen? Amen? There's no place that I left that I can't go back today. There's no place that I left that I can't go back and be received nicely. I work with a pastor. I left the place we met in London. We were preaching on the same platform, just the two of us. Me, I didn't know. He arrived one day, I arrived another day. We were put in the same hotel. Then I was told, Reverend, the car to chauffeur you to the meeting grounds was ready. So me, I went in. When I opened the door, this was the minister, the senior minister I had worked with. I said, oh, sir, honored to see you once again. He said, oh, Reverend, sit in, let's go. When we went, he was the first preacher. And when he took the microphone, he said, this man has been gifted in an area and he has developed this gift so well that God has put him on national television. This man has affected many lives and many families and many homes. And God is using him mightily, for which I recognize that. And for him to be part of this, it was a camp meeting. I believe that God will bless all of you before he went on to preach the word. Oh, you are not clapping. You are not clapping. I didn't know we'll meet in the same hotel. I didn't know we'll ride the same vehicle. And I didn't know we'll preach on the same platform. When I finished preaching, he was such a blessing to me. I listened. He ordered for my CDs. That day I didn't say anything. But he ordered for my CDs and took them away so he would go and listen. A humble person always learns from others, no matter the situation. He always learns from others. He always learns. He wants to be available. He wants to be present. He wants to access the message. He wants to pick something from it. So, we are preaching on the topic, winning by the right attitude. So we've been defining attitude. We've mentioned that there are three components of attitude. And we're saying that we have attitude that we show toward God, number one. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he will show up on the last day. The Bible says, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. We are also discussing how your attitude can be expressed toward others. How you can relate to others. How you treat others. How you handle people in customer relations. And how you live with others. Number three, how you relate to yourself. There are some people who have rejected themselves, so they are rejected. The Bible says, and Israel said, when we went to spy out the land, we saw grapes, we saw the land was fruitful, but we also saw the giants of the descendants of Anak. And the Bible says, we by ourselves saw ourselves as grasshoppers. And they also perceived us as grasshoppers. Today, may you and I be delivered from the grasshopper mentality, where we are looking down upon ourselves and acting as if we are nothing and we don't matter in this life, in the name of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Can I hear an amen? Amen? Drop that grasshopper mentality. You have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. It's the most expensive price that any man can ever pay for you. You have been given the nature of God, not nature of antelopes. There is no nature, Zoe, that is above that. You have been made in the image and the likeness of God. You were not made in the image of a giraffe. And I want you to know you have been given the word of God, which is able to give you an inheritance among the saints. You have been washed by the blood of Jesus. And you have been given a name that is above all names, at the mention of which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. The power of the word is supposed to renew your mind and bring transformation in your life. So don't look down upon yourself. Look at yourself in accordance with how God has esteemed you in the word of God. But the Bible says, let no man despise your youth. In other words, don't let any man look down upon you. So you are supposed to do things properly. Let no one talk to you that the compound is not swept. and the dishes have not been washed, and the floor has not been mopped, and the room is bad. Let no man despise your youth. You are allowing them to despise you. Let no one say your shoes are not polished. Let no one say that I saw you and there was red oil in your shirt from a meal of gobe. Even if palm nut soup fell in your shirt, find somebody to clean it. Don't sleep so long that they have to come and knock at your door consistently. You say, hey, they don't love you. Do you know the meaning of love? When you haven't done your job, you have to be made to do it. Oh, today my message is not friendly. But it was in the series. I knew I'll come and preach on this. I knew if I spoke on mindset, attitudes will follow. And we need to have a change and a transformation in our lives. Come on, put your hands together. Oh, you are not clapping at all. You are not clapping at all. Brother, if you marry somebody's daughter, you are supposed to treat her well. Even if she's making mistakes, reach out for counseling. But don't go and maltreat another person's daughter because you don't have the wisdom to manage her. Sister, if the guy has bad attitude, but he talks nicely and he talks romantically, watch the attitude. Take your eyes off his sweet talks. He may have a baritone and he may talk nicely and say, oh, how amiable is thy company, oh sister. I long to dwell with you all day. Even if he can sing a Kofi Kinata song for you, look at his attitude. Oh, you are not clapping. You are not clapping. So have a good attitude toward yourself. Go to the barber and get your hair trimmed. Trim your beard a little. I like how somebody puts it. He said, "Quick, itching chaka tomo chaka chain." It sounds very poetic. Trim yourself. As a lady, if you can't pay for the hairdresser to wash your hair, wash your own hair. Don't look unkempt. Look decent. There are some looks that president don't look. Look presidential. Look like a diplomat. Look like a representative of the kingdom of God. Not this. I know that God looks on the heart. But at least products are branded so that we will reach to them. The way you have branded yourself, the people won't come and fetch you. I want to end this message. But listen, I like the way you said, oh. In my readings, I came across this. That attitude is a little thing, but makes a big difference. An attitude is just a small thing, but it makes a big difference. How you say, oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, mom. You know, there are some people, listen to you, listen. When you are greeting anyone and it's possible, address the person by the name or title. Then say, good morning. If it's good afternoon, say, good afternoon. Are you getting me? You're not getting what I'm saying. There are some homes that they have been trained that if you are greeting, you must target your greeting to the person. So you say, good morning, Auntie Mary. Or Auntie Mary, good morning. You don't walk and say, good morning. Is that your koyikwo? Target your greeting properly. Dickness Blanson, good morning. Address the person. It's something of endearment, respect. Oh, you remember when I taught you about affection? I explained all these things about endearment. I visited someone, and the expression of the person calls the wife, oh, we didn't change but mortious. And then I visited another church outside this country. And then the pastor will always turn to the wife and say, oh, mammalistic. Can you get the people to send the other? Mammalistic. An expression of endearment. Not just you throw the greeting into the air like that. Is that your koyikwo? So, two people go to interview and one doesn't greet well. You don't know his name. Good morning, sir. Good afternoon, madam. Yes, because you have been trained to target your greeting. Not that four elders are seated and going, sir, good evening. Whom are you greeting? There's a way to say it that will cover all of them. Uh-huh. Come on, put your hands together. Put it. There are different cultures. And in some cultures, they get up and call their father Peter. Peter, hi. I'm okay with that. If your father is okay with that. But there's also another culture outside of your home, which you must be aware of. And for which you must do things properly. And may the Lord bless you. Let me run through my quotes. Oh, God bless you for that wonderful rejoicing. May God bless you too. One author said, the greater part of your happiness or misery depends on your disposition and not your circumstances. Your happiness does not depend on you don't have money, your accommodation is not good, and you have been waiting for a job, and people in your neighborhood don't respect you. This person is saying your happiness depends on the disposition of your emotions. It depends on your attitude to life. Another said, never put yourself down, for God has a plan to lift you up. Your attitude should keep you in high spirits. Your spirit must be enthusiastic and be alive. In your attitude, you have a choice to make and a response to make to people and to situations. So you have a choice not to be offended, and you have a choice not to be resentful. In conclusion with the text I read, Cain and Abel, two different professions. Cain was a tiller of the ground, a shepherd. Abel was, no, a tiller, farmer, sorry. Tiller of the ground, farmer, Cain. And Abel was a shepherd. He reared animals. There was a day that they had to worship God. So they needed to bring sacrifices as the sign of their worship to God. The Bible says that Cain brought fruits and produce from his farm. And Abel brought animals, produce from his farm. But then we are told that God did not accept Cain's products. And he was the older person. But he accepted Abel's products. Somebody has said that God was looking for a sin sacrifice. And a sin sacrifice involved blood, which the produce of the farm did not have. So the Bible says that God responded to their various sacrifices, that Cain, I have rejected you and your offering. And God blessed Abel, and Cain was angry. And Cain plotted when the two of them were in the field, and Cain killed Abel. Then when God appeared and said, you know, God knows things, so, and he said, Cain, where is thy brother? You know, God will ask you, look at the arrogant answer that Cain gave God. He told God, am I my brother's keeper? It's as if you went home. Then you ask your spouse, where are the children? They say, Miji watchman. That's the response. So number one, Cain was self-willed. He didn't give what God wanted. He did what he wanted. Number two, Cain was vindictive. When we say vindictive, it's a person who pays back evil for evil. When his brother was praised and blessed, he went to kill him. Number three, the countenance of Cain changed. Very arrogant person. Very angry person, yes. And number four, when God asked him, where is your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? That's arrogance. But God showed mercy to him. He said, I'll put a mark on your forehead that nobody will kill you. Today I didn't come to condemn you, because the same attitudes are expected of me as well in relation to others. But I came to tell you there's redemption for you. There's opportunity for you to be restored. Time has not run out. You can make the best out of the critical situation. Satan will not have the last laugh. You will not die like Absalom. Neither will you die like Ahithophel. May the blood of Jesus cover you. But may you rise up right now. Use your initiative and do the right thing so that you will secure blessings for yourself. The time of saying that I'm waiting for this, I'm waiting for that to come is past. Take initiative and serve God with love and submit to the authority that God has put you under, that they will bless you. Today when we're coming to church, I was driving with one of my daughters, and I said, daughter, you have served very well. You have served in every department. You are just left with a short time to be in your own home. Normally people get attacked when it's the last lap. So do your last lap very well. Do it better than before, so that I can pronounce blessings over you and receive you at any time and continue blessing you for the rest of your life. Is that not a nice one? Oh, I want you to clap. Ah, sister, you're not clapping. Oh, let your attitude of joy affect your clapping. We pray against any secret prayers that may come against you, like death of David against Ahithophel. May God save you. May God save you. May God deliver you. May God cover you. May you not die before your time. Oh, shout amen. Shout amen. Because the minister is anointed. So don't do that. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Oh, can I hear an amen? Amen. We hear stories of people with witchcraft. Before they enter a church, they will leave it at the door. Then they will enter so that it's not found. Leave it at the door before you enter. beyenu shine wo abonten. I like the way somebody laughs. It's like, Pastor Fa. I told somebody, if you don't learn a language by making mistakes, you will never know the language. And if nobody laughs at you, you will never know the right thing. So learn the language, speak it, make mistakes, goof, bash short. If you have been blessed, can you please rise up? Shout louder than you have done today and clap better. Clap better. Clap better. Shout louder. Shalada baba sile rebekia.